Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand before you this morning is indeed a great honor. And of course, to worship the Lord with you, with brethren with the same faith, in this side of the world is far more great joy. In behalf of the brethren in the Philippines, Pearl of the Orient Covenant Reformed Church, I bring you warm greetings. I am aware that some of you, if not all of you, have been a part of the ministry in the Philippines for supporting our work there. In acknowledgement of your act of love and generosity, with humility, I would like to say thank you so much. Surely your kindness will never go unnoticed by the eye of our loving Father in heaven. Before we proceed to the message of the Lord this morning, I'd like us to come to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father, such a great opportunity, O Lord, to serve the brethren here in Christ Reformed Church, Gasper. We thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for your word that we are going to study together this morning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word endures forever. As we come before you, O Lord, as to merge ourselves in the study of your word, we ask you, Lord, to just help us to understand it. Help us, O Lord, to meditate on it and to live by it, O Lord. We give you praise and honor. Be with us for the rest of this time as we listen to you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to request you to please open your Bible in the book of Habakkuk. I will be reading verse 16 to verse 19. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. And I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. To the chief musician with stringed instruments. Habakkuk was a man of God who lives in great faith in confusing times. The prophet in this part of his book declares at large that he would not cease to rejoice in God even in the greatest afflictions, troubles, and calamity. The book of Habakkuk was the prophet's Habakkuk on personal journey from a place of questioning, doubt and confusion, at the beginning of the book to a place of faith and confidence by the end of the book. As one author said, the book of Habakkuk begins with a question mark and closes with an exclamation point. I hope that as we wrestle with the passage set for us this morning, we will be encouraged to live our life in faithfulness to our God, even in the midst of confusing times and great afflictions or tragedy. In this closing passage, Habakkuk makes one of the most strongest statements of faith you will find in all Scripture. The statement makes a fitting climax to the whole book. Before we proceed in studying this passage or in declaring to you this word or the word of the Lord, let me ask you this question. What is the most wrench or difficult experience you have in your life? Have you ever experienced a most difficult, most challenging experience in your life? For some, well, that might be the death of a loved one. For others, it might be an act of violence committed against them. Still for others, maybe being ignored, rejected, and put down by someone they love. Any experience that you had before, which you consider as the most wrenching events that happened in your life, and it really puts you down emotionally. Now think back. What were your thoughts toward God at that difficult time in your life? Did you pray? Did you doubt your faith in Him? If so, how? With tears or with anger? With a broken and contrite heart? You know, the book of Habakkuk is all about faith in God. In fact, we saw that the key verse of the whole book was Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which declares, "The righteous or the just will live by faith." Or in other translations says, "The righteous will live by his faith." You know, we live in a day and age where the best-selling Christian books seem to be the ones that tells you how to prosper, succeed, and live a good life. And I believe that most of us, we would probably find it easy to exercise faith in God when we are prospering, when everything smiles on us, when everything just goes smoothly in our lives. We just can say, "Oh yes, Lord, I love you." When life is going well and when things go according to our plans. But the book of Habakkuk challenges us to put our faith in God even in confusing times and during the worst of times. When Habakkuk reached the end of his journey, he moved from a place of questioning and doubting God to a place of trusting God no matter what. And that no matter what was a very serious issue to Habakkuk, or for Habakkuk. Far more serious than most of the issues we deal on a daily basis. God revealed to Habakkuk that his country was about to be invaded, plundered, and ransacked. Habakkuk and his people would lose everything that they had built up over the years. Everything that they had worked for would all be gone. You can read that in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1 to 22. John Calvin, in his commentary on the book of Habakkuk, tells us that what Habakkuk is telling us is that we must learn to trust God even in extreme poverty, even if things in life seems go crazy. Let's put that question in the same terms Habakkuk faced. If we come to the point of losing everything, as in everything, to the point of coming to zero balance, or even worse, the question is, how would that affect your faith? What if all the comforts that you have right now will be taken away from you? You know, America, the past few weeks that I've been here, you have all the good things in life, I suppose. You have a very comfortable life. A brother in Michelle brought me to a grocery store, and I just, you know, was amazed of how big are the supplies America has. Your houses are big and they are comfortable. You have hot water in it, just like that. Maybe your refrigerator are filled with kinds of different kinds of food. If you go to the restaurant, you just can't finish the food. That's my experience. You have all this comfort. Now the question is, what if all these things that you have now will be taken away from you? Will you still trust that? How would that affect your relationship with God? Is your faith strong enough to stand up the kind of trial? Could you still rejoice in the Lord if you lose everything? Your job, your home, your family, your loved ones, your money in the bank. Is your faith strong enough to trust God no matter what? This is the place to which the book of Habakkuk brings us at the end of chapter 3. How do we exercise faith in God during the worst of times? And Habakkuk shares with us three things that he did, even when he was facing the worst calamity of his lifetime. And let's look at these closing verses together and see what we can learn for the strengthening of our own faith. The first thing that we see here is expressed in verse 16. Look at verse 16. Habakkuk writes, in other translation, I just used other translation, not the NKJV. And this expressed clearly the situation of Habakkuk. It says here, I heard, and my heart pounded. My heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. What's the reason? Habakkuk is so confused. A great calamity will be coming. You can read that in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. God had told Habakkuk about the coming invasion by the Babylonians. God had described the arrogance, violence, and cruelty of these invaders in chilling detail. God also told Habakkuk about the great and awesome judgment he would bring upon all the nations of the earth that refuses to submit to him. And Habakkuk is terrified at what will soon take place. He is afraid. His heart pounds in his chest. His lips quiver. He feels physically weak and hardly able to stand. We can describe this fear as fear factor multiplied by 100 times. Habakkuk was not just dealing with the possibility of terrible disaster on his country, but with his certainty of terrible calamity. He was deadly afraid, and his fear affected him. Brothers, how do we deal with extreme fear? What do we do when fear grips us in such a way that our heart is pounding and our legs give way? What do we do? People might tell you, I just have a positive thinking. Do positive thinking. Just do an exercise of deep breathing. Okay? Just try to push it out of our mind and all will be okay. How do we exercise faith? Habakkuk says, we must wait patiently for God, even when we are afraid. We must be willing to wait. We must learn to wait for God, even when we are afraid. Look at the second half of the verse of verse 16. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. In the midst of his fear, Habakkuk chose to wait patiently for God. The phrase wait patiently comes from a Hebrew word meaning to rest or to settle down or to remain. It is the same word we find in the Ten Commandments where God tells us to rest on the Sabbath day. Here Habakkuk determines to wait patiently during this time of horrible trial to rest himself in the Lord. No, it is the same word that David uses in Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. It's hard to be still when everything around you just doesn't go smoothly. But that's what the Bible says. Be still and know that I am God. You know, God promises to give us his peace when we give our worries and fears to him. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How do you exercise faith during the worst of time? Wait patiently for the Lord, even when we are afraid. Rest yourself in God. What's the benefit of waiting? It's hard to wait, especially when things are not just going right in our lives. But you know, the prophet Isaiah has a word for us for that. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. That's a challenge for us to keep on putting our faith in the God who owns us, who saves us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that Habakkuk did is expressed in verse 17 and 18. In another translation, I just take the translation not from the King James Version, or New King James. It says in verse 17 to 18, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vine, though the olive crops fails and the fields produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my salvation. Indeed, it was an instance of rare virtue to be able to rejoice in the Lord when occasions of sorrows, trouble, and difficulties met us on every side. But this is what is commanded in the scripture. You remember what James chapter 1 verse 2 says? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Only a true Christian can do that. Only a person who has a firm faith in God can count it all joy when they face various trials. And this verse from Habakkuk and from James that is worth to memorize or meditate, you know, it's very instrumental in strengthening my faith personally in the midst of uncertainties, ups and downs in the ministry. This verse represents one of the strongest expressions of faith we find in the whole Bible. As Habakkuk determines to rejoice in God when everything else in life goes wrong. Habakkuk paints three scenarios here. And each scenario contains a matching couplet of images. The first scenario is this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine. You know, the blossom of the fig tree and the grapes foaming on the vine refers to those things you are trusting for the future. They are a symbol of hopes to come. They are just budding, you know. And so when the grapes is budding, they are just blossoming, it's an indication that fruits will be coming. Okay? We will harvest. Okay? It's just blossom. It's a flower. And yet it's a tangible sign that the fig trees and the grapes are coming. But in this scenario, Habakkuk says there are no signs for the future. The fig tree does not bud. There are no grapes in the vine. There is no visible sign that these things will ever come to be. Like, do you have dreams and hopes for the future, but no visible sign that they will ever come to fulfillment? Do we ever have this feeling like saying, oh God, please, just give me a little sign and that is enough? But here, there is no sign at all. There is no sign for a bright future. There is no sign that things are going to change. Something to hold on to. If you are in that kind of situation now, then you understand how Habakkuk felt. And Habakkuk would tell us, when we have nothing to hold on for the future, hold on God, and that will be enough. Habakkuk says, trust God no matter what. Though I have no visible sign of hope for the future, nothing tangible that I can see or touch or grasp, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The second scenario is this. Though the olive tree and the fields produces no food, the olive tree or the olive crop and the fields refer to those things you are trusting in the present. Okay? They are a symbol of your present means. But in this scenario, what you are trusting lets you down. The olive crop fails. The field produces no food. They disappoint you. In fact, the word fails is, in the Hebrew word, it deceives you. You cannot trust on it. It disappoints you. The idea is this. You have been very faithful, dedicated and hardworking in your work. Farmers like those who are farmers here, they planted, cultivated the lands. Okay? They work hard, tended the crops, and now it's finally time to harvest, but nothing to harvest. The fields produces no food. Let's translate that into a contemporary situation, maybe. You have given your best in your job, in your career, but all that work, all that effort comes to nothing. You get laid off after years of faithful service to the company. You lose your job and have no current source of income. Or you invested your money in what looks like will give you a great income, yet things seems unfavorable to you, and you went bankrupt. What do we do when all that we are counting on in the present suddenly comes crumbling down? What do we do when we suffer bitter disappointments in life? Habakkuk says, trust in God no matter what, and learn to rejoice in Him. Let's go to the book of Lamentations for a while. You recall the terrible events Jeremiah relates in chapter 2. Okay. Jeremiah painted a terrible situation that will happen to the people of Israel. But after chapter 2, in chapter 3 he writes, he said, "This I call to mind, therefore I have hope." Why? "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him." In the midst of one of the most terrible events in human history, Jeremiah, knowing that God has brought it about, could say, "Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. I hope in Him." Let us return to the Lord. That's what Jeremiah says. "Though the olive crop fails and the fields produces no food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." That is, our joy should not be dependent on outward prosperity. "For though the Lord may afflict us in an extreme degree, there will yet be always some kind of consolation to sustain our minds. We shall therefore rest quietly, though heavens and earth were rolled together and all places were full of confusion." The reading in Romans chapter 8 just reminds us of that. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of Christ? Or from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Paul mentions all those possibilities that people are thinking that might separate them from Christ. And Paul just concluded that nothing in all these things will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, of God, which is in Christ Jesus. John Calvin once said, "Men are more in danger from prosperity than from adversity. For when matters go smoothly, they flatter themselves and are intoxicated by their success." Do you know what our Heidelberg Catechism tells us about this? If you have time, read Lord's Day, or question and answer 26, 27, and 28. And there God tells us that He's in control of everything. Poverty, sickness, everything that happens in our lives that doesn't happen by chance, it's all in the hands of our Heavenly Father. The third scenario is this. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, the sheep and cattle refers to those things you are trusting from the past. They are a symbol of your reserves. Okay? But in this scenario, you have no reserves to fall back on. There are no sheep in the pen. There are no cattle in the stalls. Or to put it in today's terms, there is no money in the bank. There is no more equity in the house. Your friends and family have helped you all they can. Your credit cards maxed out. Your physical strength is up. Your reserves are all used up. What are you going to do? What do you do when you have nothing to fall back on? Habakkuk would tell you, fall back on God. He is your God. He is a faithful God. He is your Father. He takes care of you. He even is concerned about the falling of your hairs to the ground. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. It is easy to trust God when the fig tree is budding and there are always grapes on the vines, when the olive crops succeeds and the fields are producing food, when you have plenty of sheep and cattle in reserves. But are you really trusting God in those times? Or are you trusting the things that you have? Think about Job. This was exactly the question Satan asked God about Job. Does Job trust you because he trusts you? Or because you have blessed the work of his hand? Job showed his true colors when you remove all the blessings. And God did. And what happened? Satan is, challenging God. Remove everything from Job and he will spew you out of his mouth. But when God allowed Satan, okay, he's in your hand. But despite all the things that happened to Job, he has this conclusion: the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will we have the same response when we are the kind of the same situation? Habakkuk challenges us with the same question. Do we really trust God? Or do we trust Him when we know He's blessing our life? Another author says, not until you take God and His word seriously will you trust Him in everything. The issue is, do we really take God and His words seriously? Well, what does it mean really to live by faith? If we are supposed to live by faith, what does it mean really to live by faith? Well, if you look at your Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, those listed names of that are called heroes of faith, let's take for example the life of Abraham. Abraham was called from the Ur of the Chaldeans and God promised him to bring him into the promised land or to a land which flows with milk and honey. Abraham has no son. And the Lord promised him to give him a son as an heir of all that he has. But you see, in the course of time, the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice or to offer Isaac to him. Do you know what that means? That means that God is asking Abraham to offer Isaac, and it will be the end of everything that God has promised to him for Abraham. Abraham, during that time, you know, is confused, and he just doesn't understand what God is doing. But what did Abraham do? He just followed the Lord. His faith in God never wavered. He lived by faith in God firmly. He trusted God. Look at Moses. What's the kind of life that he has before he flew from Egypt? Oh, he went to another country. Okay. He was born in Egypt, and he kind of had that messianic. He thought he will be the savior of the people of Israel. But after that, when he exercised this call that he seems feel that God's letting him to do, what did he do? Or what did the Pharaoh do? No? Moses, during that time, if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, tells us that Moses went to a far country from that situation in Egypt, which is, he has all the luxury of life. And maybe Moses during the time is confused, but he just submit himself to God. Habakkuk determined to rejoice in God despite visible circumstances. Even if he did not see any visible signs of God's presence or favor. That is what it means to live by faith. F.F. Bruce writes, "It is right and proper to voice appreciation of God's goodness when he bestows all that is necessary for life, health, and prosperity. But when these things are lacking, to rejoice in God for his own sake is an evidence of true faith." You see, when we learn to rejoice even in the worst of time, that is an evidence of true faith. Habakkuk tells us, "Though we have no visible hope for the future, and what we are trusting in the present has let us down, and we have no research from the past to fall back on, still rejoice in the Lord. Still be joyful in God. Why? Because he is our God. He is the God, our Savior, who will deliver us in his time. In his time, and will not let the righteous fall." God is a God of great faithfulness. We find similar instruction in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18, which says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God," or "this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pose that question again. How do we exercise faith during the worst of time? Secondly, choose to rejoice in God even when everything in life goes wrong. The last truth that God will tell us here, according to Habakkuk, is seen in verse 19. "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's of a deer. Like the feet of the deer. He enables me to go on the heights." You know, Habakkuk had learned to find his strength in God and not in his own resources or ability. He sought no strength but in God alone. No, there's an implied contrast between God and those supports in which man usually lean. There is indeed no one who is not of cheerful mind when he possesses all necessary things. When no danger, no fear is impending, we are then very courageous when all things smiles on us. The prophet Habakkuk, by calling God his strength, set him in opposition to all other supports, for he wishes to encourage the faithful to persevere in their hope, however grievously God might afflict them. His meaning then is that even when evil impetuously rages against us, when we waver and are ready to fall every moment, God ought then to be our strength. For the aid which he has promised for our support is all sufficient. We therefore see that the prophet entertained firm hope, and by his example animated the faithful, provided they had God favorable, however might all other things fail them. Habakkuk was about to go through some rough times. The thought of it scared him so much that his heart pounded and his legs trembled beneath him. Yet as he rejoiced in God in the midst of difficult circumstances, he found new strength from God to deal with the trial ahead. God is his strength. Habakkuk paints the picture of a female deer here. Oh, what is the strength like that God gives us? God makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. The picture here is like a female deer running on the heights of the mountains, steady, sure-footed, uninhibited, and unafraid, full of freedom and confidence as she scales the heights. So Habakkuk rejoices that his feet are made like deer's feet, designed by God to travel over the most difficult ground. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you long to enter the higher place with God? Then find your strength in him alone. Trust God to lift you up when you are down. How do you exercise faith during the worst of time? Wait patiently for the Lord, even when we are or when you are afraid. Secondly, choose to rejoice in God, even when everything in life seems goes wrong and unfavorable to us. Thirdly, find strength in God to overcome the complexities of life, even when we are down. Habakkuk's journey mirrors our own journey through life. We saw that Habakkuk began his journey with lots of questions. But instead of running away from God with his questions, Habakkuk kept on bringing his questions to God and finding the answers that he needed. Habakkuk began his journey in the valley of confusion, doubt, and fear, and his journey scaling the heights with God with feet like a deer. It's a beautiful journey, and one that is open to all who will come honestly to God with their questions and seek him with all their heart. God promises in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And so, whatever we may be in our personal journey from doubt to faith, let me encourage you. Keep seeking God. Keep coming to him with your doubts and with your questions. And I pray that God will also lead you to a place where you will learn to trust him no matter what, where you may run along the heights in God's presence with the feet of a deer. May God help us to learn the beautiful lessons that he has recorded for us in the book of Habakkuk. Let's all pray. Thank you, O Lord, for reminding us once again that life is not dependent upon who we are, what we have in this life. Thank you for the richness of your word that rebukes us of our shallow faith in you and comforts us and brings us to a more firm faith in you as our God. Oh Lord our God, may your word for us today be the meditations of our heart. May you help us, oh Lord, to trust you, God, your word more and more. As the word of the Apostle Paul says, may we let your word dwell in us richly. When time comes that we face with the reality of great troubles in our lives, may we remember your promises, your blessings. May we remember what you have done in Christ for us. May we remember that nothing shall separate us from your love through the Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, may this eternal security that we have, based on what you have done for us, based on the great love that you have showered to us, will make us to wait patiently, even when we are afraid. To rejoice in everything, even when everything seems goes wrong and unfavorable to us. May we always find strength in you. Thank you so much, O Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you that you are our Father who loves us, who will never forsake us nor leave us, even the worst of times. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.